views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women, and this is a great week for me. I'm celebrating my birthday. It's one of those biggies. Turned 65 on Wednesday, and I'm celebrating all week. It's been going on, and I'm not being bashful about that. It's a milestone to turn 65, and it fits in with our topic today because we are going to talk about ritual and celebrations, ceremonies, and, you know, birthdays are one of those important times in your life. My guest is Silva Dvorak. She's the co-author of Your Hidden Riches, Unleashing the Power of Ritual to Create a Life of Meaning and Purpose. And the other authors on the book are Janet Bray Atwood and Chris Atwood, who are well known for their work on the on passion. So Silva is a transformational counselor, humanitarian, and has been a consultant for several social cause organizations and Fortune 500 companies. She received her undergraduate and graduate degrees from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and her PhD in psychoneurology and integrative healing from Barron University in Los Angeles. And she's also on the faculty of that university. And the book, Your Hidden Riches, provides a real-world guide for busy modern achievers to harness the power of ritual to create a rhythm to their life by managing their time, energy, and thinking, as well as tapping into their inner hidden riches to align themselves with their unique life design. Silva is committed to help others find their personal freedom, and it goes back to her experience as a young child. She and her family escaped from what was Czechoslovakia back then during the Soviet Union occupation, and at the time she spent time in refugee camps. So she remains devoted to her daily spiritual and physical practice, and she's passionate about merging spiritual wisdom with scientific understanding of the body and mind and how that can lead to healing and inner transformation. So welcome, Silva.
Thank you, Chris. I'm so happy to be here with you on your birthday week, and I want to know, what are you doing? What rituals are you doing for your birthday?
I'm just celebrating. You would call this a ritual. We have a women's spa here. It's a Korean Olympus women's spa in Seattle. So I was with a few friends there, and that's kind of a ritual, you know, just soaking in the bathtubs, getting a body scrub. And tonight we're going to a ritual, kind of a ritual performance. A whole bunch of us are going to a play. It's kind of a burlesque show, although not totally burlesque, but it's called Inheritance, Maiden Mother Crone, and it's the archetypes of the woman activist, and it's intergenerational stories, and they're actually going to be performing it at our Women of Wisdom Conference in February. So we're getting a preview tonight because it's down at a theater in Seattle. So a whole bunch of us are going to go and experience that, which I'm sure will have ceremonial ritual aspects to it, just given the nature of the topic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that sounds great. And there's nothing like one of those Korean scrubs to start off with a new skin layer for the birthday the next year, right?
yeah. Well, let's just talk about you. I want to hear your story, you know, how you discovered the importance of rituals in your life.
Yeah, well, thank you for asking that. You know, I would say when I actually didn't really even realize how important ritual had been in my life until I started working on this book. And then I realized that, wow, ritual was the one thing that I always went back to growing up that helped me stay connected to my family. And it was very, very important to me. And it became so clear to me when one of the next generation of my family, you know, was born. And we had always done these certain rituals with my parents and my sister, because it was just the three of us, well, the four of us, I should say, that were able to get to the United States. And had said, well, we don't really want to do that. And I was like, no, no, don't take away that ritual, that special ritual that we do. And I realized, wow, that ritual meant so much to me because it helped me to stay connected to my family at a time when I couldn't really communicate with them because of you know, my family had escaped and I was in the United States, but I really couldn't talk to any of my relatives until after 1989, until after the revolution. And it was through the ritual that I held on to my culture, our traditions. And of course, I was very immersed in the American culture and then went to school here. But yet it was the ritual that held that feeling of still having my family close to me. And so it really was a book then writing this that made me realize that and how important ritual has been throughout my whole life.
Yeah, sometimes you have to reflect back and realize, oh, that was a ritual. Give us an example. What did you do to stay connected with your family who you couldn't communicate with?
Well, you know, we always had my mom always cooked dinner, or I would cook dinner. I actually started cooking at a young age. And so we always had our evening meals together. And that was something we always had to do. Like, that was, you did not attend a family dinner, because that was a time when my family could be connected and talk about the day. We have very specific holiday, like Christmas time rituals. We had Saint Nick, not Santa Claus, you know, and from being from our Eastern Bloc country, but we had Saint Nick. And so we had some very specific holiday rituals, like we cut an apple a certain way, and then when you cut the apple, there's a star in there that means, and the star, like when you cut the core of the apple, not through the core, but sideways on the apple, and if the star is like really big, and no, that means you're going to have a great and healthy year. So we have all kinds of like little rituals that we do around holiday times that are specific to our culture.
Yeah, that's wonderful, because it's, you know, it's kind of lost, what I think, for some Americans who it's been centuries since their family came over from a country where probably had culture, social things like that. And I find, like, because my family's Norwegian and we're really a little closer because my father was born in Norway, there's still, you know, some of that. But I think when you've been here in the country a long time, unless you've had it gone from generation to generation continuing these rituals, they get a bit lost.
Oh, I love Norway, by the way. I've traveled throughout Norway. It's so beautiful. Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, I think that has a direct impact on our society these days, because ritual from ancient times served a very important purpose, and that was really to help us connect to ourselves, to others in our community. And by not carrying on that tradition of ritual, you know, it's much easier to feel disconnected. And as a matter of fact, it's kind of ironic that we live in this world that we have so many devices, right? We have the smartphone, we have the texting, we have instant messaging, we have email. That's all supposed to help us stay connected. But yet people are feeling more disconnected than ever. They're feeling lost or lonely. And conditions such as anxiety or, say, overeating are really starting to just really grow in our society, or depression. And these are really just symptoms that are arising out of people feeling disconnected from themselves or their own life or even their own life purpose. And so, you know, in the book we talk about that. We talk about how ritual really helps us to connect to what we call our life design. Our life design being that aspect of ourselves that really is our purpose, our divine purpose, and to help us feel more connected to our families and our communities. And, you know, the ritual really helps us to stop for a moment and take a breath maybe, and just slow down from the everyday busyness. And,
yeah, that's so important.
To feel more connected. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned this life design, and I know that's a thread throughout the book. What And then building rituals around that to discover, and that's why the book, you know, Your Hidden Riches, discovering mm-hmm. what those, your life design can be accomplished through ritual, I assume.
Yes.
Some of the rituals.
Yes. And there's, you know, in the book we have what we call like everyday rituals. And then we have what we call like a ceremonial rituals. And in doing the research for the book, what I found were there were these like really seven aspects to ritual that are really had been done through ancient times, but it's these seven aspects that we really don't have as an integrated whole into our society today. And that when we do connect to those seven aspects and we use them throughout our, whether it's our day in an everyday ritual or it's in a more elaborate, you could say, ritual, what that does is that it does help us pay attention to those things that are more important to us. In other words, otherwise our mind is always going busy, 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 busy. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. Well, when our mind is going like that all the time, we may not stop to think and say, hey, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I doing here? Do I have a service that I want to offer? That my purpose for being. And so the ceremonial rituals, when we engage in those, and particularly help us do that.
Yes, and I would love to get into a little bit of that seven aspects of ritual. We can. What's the most important aspect? We have a minute. We can talk about that.
Well, I don't know if we can say which one is. It would be the most important, but what I could start off is maybe the first one, which is so important for anything that we do, because together they make up a whole. But the first aspect would be, say, intention. That really effective rituals include a conscious intention. That means consciously stating what you choose to create. So a simple way to do that would be, say, before you get out of bed, you can do what Ben Franklin did, which was to ask himself, what good will I do today? And then he ended the day with, what good have I done today? And so that the intention is very, very important, because what is it that we want to hold for our day? Again, just in the everyday, or again in a ceremonial rituals, in a larger context when we use it in a more formal way, is what is it that we want to get out of that whole ceremonial ritual? What shift do we want to create in a larger scale, so to speak?
Yeah, and that's a great way to start, you know, with your intention. I know that's something that in many of the circles I work on, we start with intention. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Christina. You're listening to Voices of Women. We will take a short break and come back and talk more with Silva Dvorak.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Women, Voices of Women. Not Woman of Wisdom this time. It's Voices of Women. And I'm talking with Silva Dvorak. My life is all Woman of Wisdom. It's so easy to say that. So, Silva, we were talking about the seven aspects of ritual, and we were talking about intention, which is so important. I love that you know, just consciously choosing what you want to create. And I think one of the big aspects about that is being really clear.
Absolutely. It's actually a ritual that helps us get that clarity, because in ritual, we actually then stop for a moment and can go into silence or take a breath and breathe and get that clarity. And when we're so busy in our days and just going, that's often the problem, is that we don't stop and get that clarity. And so, you know, and a ritual helps us to do that. And like you said, so the first aspect of the ritual is intention. And then the second aspect is preparation and purification. And in preparation for ritual, it really allows us to go to a deeper experience of life through first cleaning out any area where we may be blocked. And so this can be as simple as cleaning out space in your home. Maybe there's clutter, and that's creating a mind that can't focus, doing some purification in the home. And then there's the purification in the mind, which could be, you know, writing down things that are really bothering us, that may be holding us back, and then ripping that up or shredding it or doing a ceremony about releasing it. And purification could be as something as simple for, say, those ceremonial rituals like that have been done in various cultures, where you first bathe before you participate in a ritual, or you wash your hands and your face. So the second step is the preparation and purification. And that can also, by the way, be something like using camphor or incense to clear a space. That many ancient cultures do before they participate in a ritual. Then the third aspect is the use of symbols. And symbols really help us to connect to what matters most to you. So symbols can be anything such as using a photo or a memento that you have that reminds you of something important. Or it could be a crystal or a rock. And those symbols, if we use them as part of our ritual, again, have an important purpose in that they signal to the mind that you're making a shift. You're going to be doing something different, or even if you're just passing by them in the day, they signal to your mind to maybe take a moment and take that breath. And so, again, symbols can be something of importance to you, of meaning to you, and that's one thing that's very important about ritual, is that however you create your ritual and what you do, is that it has important meaning to you. And so they'll go from symbols, and then the fourth aspect is to activate your senses. And so senses are very important in ritual, especially in ceremonial rituals, in that again, they signal to the mind to connect to a different space. And so activating a sense could be something like using incense or music or even tying a beautiful scarf or using a shawl around yourself before you go and do some breathing or taking some time of silence. Again, they connect our emotions to a deeper place, to that place of silence within. So even if you were to pick some flowers and have them there on a table and then they smell good, again, they are activating the senses as part of a ritual practice. And then the next aspect, the fifth aspect, is what we call in the book the prescribed for performance. And this is really about a sequence, about creating a sequence for yourself that connects the body and the mind and signals to them that, you know, something's about to shift. So, for example, it could be something like around a meal time where you want to add more consciousness to that meal. So we have our meal and we're just having the everyday conversation, but meal times were often very much of a ritual type of practice, and they had ceremonies with them. So, for example, you gather around the table and you could do a prayer, or everyone go around and have an expression of gratitude. Again, it's about taking that time, that space, for that moment, to make it more, I guess you could say, sacred. And then the sixth aspect is repetition. And in repetition, what you do is that you repeat that same thing over and over. And as we know, little shift happens in our lives, and unless we have some repetition there. And so for ritual to have a real, I guess, long-term impact, especially when it comes to the ceremonial rituals, is that it has to be a repeated practice. So if you want to get the benefits, for example, of really being able to tap into more peace and quiet, then certainly taking time every day, even if it's for 5 minutes, to do that is important, so that you develop not only that neural pathway in your brain, but it becomes a part of your practice, and it signals to your mind that you can go to that place very quickly. And the repetition, by the way, is something that's done by, you know, some of the greatest people that have been on our planet. Simple things like in the everyday type of rituals, like, for example, an athlete repeating something several times, like a tennis player, like Serena Williams, bounces her ball just 5 times before she serves. Well, again, that's a ritual in a way that signals to the mind that, okay, something's shifting. It's focusing her mind to be, you know, to perform that serve in the best way she knows. And then the last aspect of the ritual is what we call the invoking the unseen. And invoking the unseen is really, well, in traditional texts, they say that 75% of life is unseen and only 25% can be experienced with our senses. And so rituals are really a way to tap into this unseen part of life and gain support for our activities. And so, Chris, when you said the most important, although intention, and they're all very important, actually, if we can tap into the unseen and we can do that consistently, which is the primary purpose of really ritual and ceremonial rituals, then that's really where the juiciness is connecting to that place of higher consciousness, where we're all interconnected.
Yeah, that's very important. And that's one of the gifts of doing this. Like, that could be a benefit of, like you say, having your intention and repeating. Like, sometimes when you have that, you know, whether it's a mantra or you're repeating something and you do it consistently, all of a sudden, you know, that part of you, that unseen part, the stuff, that unconscious stuff you haven't tapped into yet, can sometimes just pops up and is revealed
That's
to you
right.
because you've been doing this. So
That's
it's one
right.
of the benefits of doing these, the having that ritual. So what you're talking about is connecting these rituals to your inner self, your hidden riches. And what we're all wanting is to create an ideal life. And so Is that what you sense, that the purpose of these, of having ritual, is to help you create that ideal life? I mean, you know, so many people just go through life and just think things happen to them. And then, you know, complain, or just like their life isn't great and why isn't it? And yet, you've got to create it. You got to create, you know, you are in control of your life to create your ideal life.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people think that, okay, well, I can just think that. And of course, thinking is important, but we actually have to create some action towards it. And that's really what distinguishes, say, a habit from a ritual. In that a ritual is a conscious, intentional act. Versus a habit is just something that you do over and over that may have no consciousness. In other words, you know, you drive to the same store, repeatedly, and then after a while it's a habit. You don't even have to think about it. Whereas in ritual, there is more consciousness added to it. In other words, there's an awareness to it. And that's what's needed for us to create our lives. Otherwise, we just always do what we've done. We repeat the same thing over and over. And so we have to use that awareness. And ritual is conserved that way because, again, it takes the focal point to the direction we desire to go. Otherwise, we will, again, go back to what we've always done. And this is why in ancient times, rituals were always used to create any sort of shift, whether it's within individuals or within groups. People would gather in ceremonies and perform certain type of rituals when they wanted, let's say something important was happening in the community. They would come together, whether it's to celebrate it or to create it, because they knew that they had to mark that time. That was a transition, a very important transition time. And I guess that's the other thing I would say is that because of, we don't really have that in the Western culture, these markings of these important transition times, that again, people aren't connected to using ritual in a way to create their life. In other words, to intentionally create their life in the direction that they would like to go.
Mm-hmm. And I want to shift it a little bit to women in particular, since my show is Voices of Women, you know, how women can use ritual to connect to their voice and that aspect of ourselves, that divine feminine within ourselves.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because, well, you know, I really feel that for women, it's almost much more natural to be able to connect to ritual. And the reason why is that women are more naturally connected to their emotion, their feeling, and so can tap into, I guess you could say, the power of ritual, to use ritual in their life easier than probably most men could. I'm not saying they can't, but in it's more of a woman's nature to connect to the emotion and the feeling. And it's in that emotion and the feeling where I guess then that seventh step is what the invoking the unseen really means, is we're connecting to that deeper place, that feeling place. And so since women can more naturally connect to that place by using ritual in their life, you'll be able to, again, connect to your own self, to what's really calling to you. When you create that quiet space or that ritual practice for yourself, you'll be able to hear your own voice, your own guidance, your own feminine voice, and bring that forth.
Yeah, that's so important. Well, we're going to talk more about it when we come back. This is Christina, okay. And we'll take a short break and come back and talk more with Silva.
Siegel, co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
If you look on the back of a GLaOS dressing label, you'll see one taste and you're hooked for life. And you know what? That's the truth. I love this stuff. Try mixing the Caesar dressing with broccoli and sunflower seeds for a simple and delicious salad. Visit GLaOSCafe.com and order your dressings online. That's GLaOSCafe.com.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.
Transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio, that's my line. Non-stop shows, 24 hours, 7 days. Positive Talk Radio is the new craze. Learn and live your life the best you can. All hosts of TTR will lend a hand. Transform, inspire, educate, create. Tune in now. Our shows are actually really great. Tell your friends, your brother, dad, and mom to tune in at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices Women, and Pray Like a Woman is a song by Lorraine Bays on our Woman Wisdom CD that you can get on our website, and that's a song good to be used for rituals. Pray Like a Woman, what a better way to, you know, start a ritual. I want to shout out to our conference coming up February 12th through the 16th. We have Jean Shinoda Boland. You've heard her on my show. Also, a couple of the women I've interviewed, a fantastic healer who works with chakra colors and tone, Patty Conklin, and Penny Pierce, who's the author of Frequency and Leap of Perception. They're going to be doing intensive workshops during the conference. So you want to check it out. It's not, things will be up on the website in November. Just mark your calendars, February 12th through the 16th. Also, is the deadline. We extend our deadline for the vendor's application to be at our marketplace. Deadline's next Wednesday, October 22nd. Just go to womanofwisdom.org and click on the Conference 2015, and you can find out all the information. And this next week, we'll be posting our temple information to be in the temple. If you're a healer, a reader, body worker, psychic reader, we have a temple that goes on during the conference, and there'll be application forms up on the website probably by next Monday or Tuesday. Okay, well, we were talking about creating ritual for and the feminine, and how that it's such a natural thing for women to do. Mm-hmm. But how about giving us an example of someone that you interviewed for the book? Because you know, stories are great, and just having those stories of what other people have done for them to impact their lives is always good lessons for us to hear.
Sure, I'd love to. There's a wonderful, wonderful woman by the name of Dee Audio Moses, who I interviewed for our book, and she was raised in Nigeria as a member of the Yoruba tribe. And she told me how every part of her life was really immersed in ritual as she was growing up. Even the way in which you would greet someone varied, and it was a ritual way that you would do it. And that would depend on whether they were sitting or standing, they were man or woman, and how long you know them, how you met them. And one of the rituals that she shared with me was her transition story of what happens for every young girl when she begins to menstruate. And in the West, girls are often ashamed of the experience. You know, they don't express it when the time may come, or they may think it's dirty, or they may hide it. They're often embarrassed by it, or they may not talk about it. Yet it's really a natural body function. And this is oftentimes because, again, in the West, we don't have these rites of passage ceremonies. That's part of our culture. And so mothers don't, majority of mothers aren't raised that way, and so they're not passing that on to their daughters to honor this transition in their life. And yet Dee's experience and growing up where she did was completely different. she, before, when she was like in her early teens, she started having meetings regularly with like the elder woman of her village. And that was for about a year before the change in her life happened. And they explained to her how fortunate she was to be a woman, that she was a beautiful woman, and that she was a co-creator with God of a new life. And they told her that no man can be born except through a woman's body. And so that she was very special, and she had a very important role to play in her community, and that she had a voice as a woman, and that it was how important it was to take good care of her body, and especially around the cycle time. And then she told me that she had such a wonderful understanding of this transition that when her moon cycle, her period really started, she ran to tell her mom, who shared her excited with her, and immediately gathered other women from the village, and they started making food and really had a celebration of this transition in her life. And then she met with the elder woman from the village again, and they performed a special ritual signifying to Dee that she was now a woman and joining the other woman in the village. And now she had the responsibility as well as a woman in her community to behave as a woman, to understand that that was important and that that was valuable, and a valuable contribution she had. And I was so struck about what a dramatic difference that is from probably what a majority of young women experience during this transition phase in their life.
Yes, and there's so much shame around it and hiding and then, you know, like not wanting to have, you know, now you can take a pill and not have your periods and all this stuff. It's just, you know, it is something in our culture that we don't honor and we don't celebrate. I would encourage mothers to find, because there are places that do it. There are groups that will mm-hmm. do this kind of ritual or, you know, ceremony for your daughter. It doesn't have to be a complex thing. I remember being part of one for a woman, you know, and it wasn't at the time when she started bleeding, but she was a little older teen, but we did a ceremony for one of my friend's daughters. And, it's such a blessing to witness something like that and to... And I've heard stories. I have a friend who had two granddaughters that they did a ceremony and they were just so excited. It just, you know, you can see the shift when something like that happens.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, and if in many cultures they had these ceremonies and these rituals, also starting younger, say at the age of 5 or 6, than at that teenage years, and it might vary slightly by say community or tribe or culture, but and then also oftentimes during like for Dee, for example, when she turned at the age of 21. As well, that marked another time. And then also, of course, there's the marriage and then having children. But then in the Yoruba tribe, they also mark a certain age. In some cultures, it's, say, 55, in some 60, some 65. And in Dee's case, recently she turned 60. I'm sure she doesn't mind if I share that. But those same elders, the ones that were alive, that were there during her teens, actually flew from Nigeria to be there at her 60th. She's in the United States now, at her 60th birthday ritual. And again, they talked to her, and it was a week long, and they brought her into the tribe of women, of now being part of the wise woman, the elder tribe. And I remember talking to her about it when it happened last year and how special that was. And so to have all these, not just the teen years, which we're familiar with, in the Native American, you know, traditions, of course, we're big on the rites of passage during the teen years, but there's many other times that we can mark that are also transition times that are very important to note in special ways and to bring in ritual, because they really do help the person then process that shift in their life emotionally, and then to also to celebrate it rather than be either shamed for it or like, oh no, here I go, I'm turning this age, and oh no, you know, to celebrate that aspect of our life by marking it with a special time, a special ritual.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, too, there's some people, you may not have people in their lives to do that with, but you can create it for yourself. You know, create a dinner for yourself and put a candle at the table and flowers and honor yourself, or go take yourself out to dinner. You know, we don't have to always be with people for these rituals.
No, as a matter of fact, I'm so glad you said that, because in the book, actually, there's another story of Emily, and Emily was a client of mine, and she is more to the U.S., and she was really wanting a relationship, but she didn't really have, like, the circle of women that maybe you or I might have to do kind of rituals around it, or she didn't really have that community, and so I had her start doing very specific rituals, and by the way, having dinner and setting the table in a particular way and doing certain rituals for herself so she didn't feel alone and could draw in her beloved into her life, even though he wasn't there. And she was, you know, she's 50 and she says, no way, I don't even have a boyfriend. How's any man going to want me? You know? And yet she started doing these things even by herself. And when we started writing the book, it's a great story in the book, but when we started writing the book, I got the call that she got engaged, and just as we were finishing up the book, she got married. And the great part of that is that we were able to call the publisher and change that line in the book that she's now married just before it went to print. So again, you could do it by yourself, taking yourself out to dinner and making it a special time.
And some of that, because I remember reading about that in the book, was creating space for someone to come into your life, too.
That's right. That's right. Creating that space. So it could be like, you know, I've talked about one aspect of ritual is really to do the purification. So we want to create the space both in our physical environment and in our mind. And so in our physical environment, you know, do you have things, let's say if someone is working on attracting their relationship in their life, do you have things from the past, you know, those old mementos, those old photos of that person, that man, you know, whoever, that woman that's still around there, those things that you're hanging on to, are there stuff in there? Is there stuff still in the drawer that you haven't been able to let go of? Are there stuff still around? Well, get rid of those things. You can do a beautiful ritual around it to release it, donate it. You know, give those things away. Create that space in your life for attracting. That's a purification for attracting that new energy, that new space to attract that that person in your life. And then, of course, we want to create the mind space as well. So if there's things that are blocking you, like in Emily's story, there was some things. So I had her do specific rituals to also open up the space in her own mind. She had to do some purification around that to release the stories that she held on to, the past, of not only the past relationships that she felt hurt in, but also the resentment or the anger just in men in general, or that the stories she was holding on to, that, you know, who would want her at this age, at the age of 50, and, you know, all these stories she had built up over time.
Yeah, and that's it's great work. So this is Christina on Voices of Women. We're going to take a short break again and come back, and we'll continue talking with Sylva Dvorak.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Silva Dvorak. She's co-author of Your Hidden Riches. And Silva, can you give your contact information, websites where people can find out about you, find out about the book?
Absolutely. So our main site for the book is thehiddenriches.com, thehiddenriches.com. And my own website is drsilvadvorak.com, and the doctor is D-R, short for doctor, and then S-Y-L-V-A, and then D-V-O-R-A-K.com.
Great. So we were talking about this woman doing these kind of setting up time to create, bring a relationship in, and how powerful that is. Is there anything more to add to that that you want people to know?
Well, you know, the only thing I would say is, if I know so many, because I speak to so many women, is that, you know, the main thing is that you consciously, you really think something through, whatever that ritual would be, and then add that, what we call that regular repetition to it. In other words, do something every single day. So in Emily's case, she never wanted to go to the movies alone because she thought, well, that's something she had to do with a partner. And I really encouraged her to do all the things that she was resisting doing, because here's the word resisting, that's really important. When we resist, it has a certain energetic that holds us. It kind of puts our forward motion in neutral, you could say. And to go and put her car herself into, you know, gear, first, second, third gear, and to do these things that she said she felt she couldn't do alone and being single. And so whether it was just setting a time each week, and she met a girlfriend at a cafe, even though she wanted that to be her boyfriend. She went on a vacation. She said, no way would I ever go on a vacation. I really encouraged her. And she went to Belize by herself. And so she did all these things to lessen the attachment to what wasn't there and to open up the possibility of what could be there. And so for anyone who's listening, that's what I would really encourage you to do.
Yeah, live life, do it, yeah, and do what you love to do. Because if you're doing what you love to do, you're going to be passionate and exciting, and people are going to see that in you, and you're going to attract that.
Exactly.
In your
and
life.
That's not only in relationship, right? But we know that works with money or anything else we desire, right?
Oh, hey, how does the money thing work? Tell me.
Yeah. Well, we can set up a whole ritual around that. It really is around, if we wanted, you wanted to segue into money? We can
yeah.
talk about that? Sure. Okay. Well, money, you know, in the book we talk about when you add ritual to part of your life and you add that awareness, that consciousness, with the seven aspects that we talk about, what does that do to your life? That has the potential to create what we call enlightened wealth. And enlightened wealth is creating wealth in every aspect of our life, just like we were talking about with relationship. And of course, that translates to money wealth as well. Because the thing that happens with money is that most people, you know, have their own triggers around money. Right. And the focal point then becomes on what is not there. And oh my gosh, how am I going to get to fill what's not there versus on focusing on what is there and expanding from there. So just like in Emily's case, for example, you could start your day with gratitude. And this is, by the way, and I'll share what I do in this realm, which is I have my boyfriend gave me this beautiful notepad, and it looks like one of those solid gold nugget pieces, you know, those like big, what they call them, slabs of gold. But it's a notepad, and I use a gold pen, and in there, every morning, I write down five gratitudes, five things I'm grateful for, and five things I desire. So it's not just gratitudes, it's also I'm putting out intentionality of what I desire. That includes the abundance in the various parts of my life. And then creating the ritual aspect around it, which is, again, focusing on what you do have rather than not. And so, for example, let's just say you only have a dollar that you could spread apart, you know, like put 10 cents here, 10 cents there. That's better than nothing. You take that dollar and you make it into four quarters, and you could put it into different jars. And in those jars, this would be like your savings, you know, and then you label those jars with the things that you desire. So, for example, it could be, play, some fun things. It could be like, say, it's a new car, a new home or whatever. And then, you know, whether it's each day you add something to it or a week, again, you decide what works for you. But again, it's focusing on building that. Now, eventually those jars can become savings accounts, right? Because you're going to start filling up. But see, what happens is, of course, we know that with money can flow out very quickly if we don't do something very intentional with it, if we don't do something kind of ritual with it, right? So also surrounding ourselves with symbols that represent money and the flow of money to us. So this is why, like in some cultures, like in Japan or in China, they had these ancient symbols of money that you could use, whether it's a gold coin or a red purse. Again, something that works for you, or a particular candle that you light, and then you take that time and that focus time to intention what you desire. So it's creating that space in our life. And again, it doesn't have to be a whole lot of space. It could be first thing in the morning or at night as we're going to bed or when we wake up, or again, having around our desk certain symbols. But the more we engage all those aspects of ourselves, the senses, the symbols, repetition, the consistency in that area, the more, you know, as a psychoneurologist, you know, what I say is the more we create the neural pathways towards that in our mind, and that's a real thing, versus the neural pathways that may be well grooved, which is, oh my gosh, what's not there, right? How am I going to pay that bill, or what am I going to do? Da, 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 da. Now, of course, we have to handle the practicalities, right? We have to be smart with our money. In other words, we have to, you know what bills are coming up and so forth. But we also want to engage that unseen aspect of ourselves. And this is where, again, that ritual becomes so important, because if we don't do it, if we don't create that ritual, that pattern, then again, we'll just go back to what we've always done. And generally, when there's been a challenge in money, I always tell people, this is something you'll have to do for the rest of your life. And that's not to make it a hardship. That could be a joyful thing. But it just means that other pattern was pretty well grooved, that other ritual of maybe thinking about lack. And now we have to create those rituals on the abundance side, on the wealth side, which, again, can be in any aspect of our life, relationship, family, health, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yeah, there's so many aspects that we can use this ritual, and I know, you know, financial issues are huge right now for people, mm-hmm. and just trying to balance, and you know, people are struggling finding the work they want or the right income and managing money. So what even what you're talking about is managing it, and all our unconscious beliefs around money that we've picked up when we were kids, of, you know, you got to work hard for it, you don't deserve money, or just all sorts of messages that are in our head that we need to be careful of. Well, thank you so much, Silva, for being with me today on my show.
And, thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and good luck.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, your book is launching on Tuesday. It's go to www.thehiddenriches.com. You can probably find it on Amazon as well. And check out the book. Lots of ritual examples in there and ideas of what to do and creating rituals for your life. So I encourage you to check the book out. So I want to, and that's what I want to leave you with the thought today. Check out the book and how you can bring ritual into your life. So this is Chris Danis. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom, and our conference is in big planning stages now. The program is set. We're very excited. Our theme is I Am We. I always have to remember, hearts connecting communities. I Am We, hearts connecting communities. And also, I have my own book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And it's an inspirational book, has lots of stories, art, poetry from different women on the divine feminine. It's touched many people's lives. I've just gotten reports recently of people picking up the book and loving reading it, and that's just always encouraging to hear. Don't forget the Women of Wisdom Conference. If you want to be a vendor in our marketplace, deadline is October 22nd. You might see it say 15th on our website. Just go to womenofwisdom.org and click on Conference 2015. And we're so excited to have Jean Shinoda Bolin with us at the conference. And we will be open for having healers, readers, body workers at the conference. We'll open up next week with a November deadline. Check out my website too, chrysalisleadership.com, how you can unleash the powerful leader within you. There's courses, coaching, empowerment circles, which we can do online with a visual video calls. Would love to talk to you. So you can email me at chrysalisleadership.com. Next week, I'll be interviewing Meg Blackburn, author of her new book, The Children of Now Evolution. So this is Chris Danis. So glad you spent the hour with me on Voices of Women. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Danis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Danis.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I want to share an interesting story about Galeo's dressings and marinades. I recently had some work done at my local dentist, and I thought I would give him a treat by bringing in fresh veggies, and I thought, what could they possibly dip it in? So what I did was I brought the only thing that I know how to bring as one of my favorite Galeo's dressings. I brought them the Dijonnet. And so what happened was monumental. Everyone in the office finished the tray before my dentist could actually get to it. And they are still talking about it weeks later. To find out more about these gluten-free, GMO-free, low-sugar, low-fat, amazing dressings and marinades, go to galeoscafe.com. That's galeoscafe.com. Make sure you add this to your fall pantry or ask for the dressings at your local grocery store. Remember, shipping is free.
Chris Danis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Time. Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.